So this was inspired by something somebody in Israel mentioned to me, and there's a lot of confusion regarding some of the topics of being a shliach tzibur. So I just figured I'd go through some of the topics regarding that surround a shliach tzibur. I'm not sure how far we'll take it, but at least for this week we'll do this topic. I'll try to add more for Wednesday. But the first of the topics is the least practical of all of the shliach tzibur related topics, and we'll try to discuss why it's not actually practical. But in reality, it's what the Gemara says, and it's difficult to actually keep it. If you read the lashon of the Gemara, it's hard to know how this is actually supposed to work. So let's just take a look at the Gemara in Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph in Maseches Brachos. Tanu Rabbanan, rabbis taught in a brisa, over lifnei ateva tzarech lesariv. A person who is going to become the shliach tzibur, he has to refuse. V'meino mesariv, and if he doesn't refuse, let's say somebody says to him, go be the shliach tzibur, and he decides that he's going to run right up there. So dome letavshil she'in bo melach. He is considered to be like a cooked item, a dish that is not properly salted. So he lacks flavor. No, for example, I remember this as a kid. For whatever reason, my mother, when she makes chicken soup, she doesn't put salt in, and it's it if you would taste it before you add the salt, it tastes like water. And when you think, so it was one of those things as kids, we would always try to explain to anybody who didn't live in our house, don't worry, when you add salt, it doesn't just make it salty, it makes it good. So you add salt after the fact, and then it tastes like very good chicken soup. It's one of those things that, like, it goes from tasting like nothing to tasting like something really good. So we generally speak, I think it was because her mother, when later in life, wasn't able to eat anything with salt, so she would make some for us and some for her. And so the rest of us had to. But of course, you know, as the mother of four boys, four snarky balls and boys, she couldn't actually just have her boys acknowledge the fact that she was doing something nice for her own mother, so we had to give her a hard time about it. But nevertheless, this is the joys of parenting that you, God willing, will one day experience. If you add salt to something, it doesn't just make it salty. Sometimes it actually makes it tasty and flavorful. So basically what we're saying here is you're doing your job, you're going to be the shliach tzibur, but there's a bad taste to it. It's what we call nowadays tasteless. It's a tasteless act. So that would be the colloquial way to explain it. Others could explain that because tefillah is b'makom karban, and therefore when you're the shliach tzibur, so you're like the one offering the korban, and we have a rule: al kol korban chem takriv melach. You're supposed to put salt on all of the korbanos. So therefore, it's lacking in the salt in the sense that the korban that you're offering, the tefillah that you're offering, is somewhat lacking because of the way you went about it. V'misarvev yoser midai. But if you refuse too much, domel atav shel shehikdichas o melach. It tastes. It's like you oversalted it, and now it tastes bad. So ketzadavosa. So how should you actually do it? Pam rishoni yisarev. This is the first time you should refuse outright. Shnia mahavhev. And then the second one you should already start to waver. And shlishis poshitis raglaviyard. If they ask you a third time already, then you just got to run up there. And tana rabbanan. And so they have another brisa which brings home this point. Ruban kasha miutan yafe. There are certain things that if you do too much of it, it's very bad. And if you do a little bit of it, it's very good. Ve'elu hein saor. Right, putting in yeast. Now we call that yeast nowadays. It was the way they made dough rise in those days. Was they would take over fermented dough and they would add a little bit of it to the. They didn't have like little yeast packets like we do. They would take the actual dough that was filled with the cultures and they would add it to the regular dough. Melach, salt, visarbonus, and refusal. So you refuse a little too much, so it's not so tasteful. So basically, we have this idea that when they call you up to daven for the Amid, you're supposed to refuse. It's, again, I still, for the life of me, have trouble envisioning how this looks in real life. Why? Like, is it like you basically 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game? Like you say to the guy, like, all right, please go up, please daven for the Amid. Nah, Please daven for the omelet. Please daven for the omelet. Okay. It's like three times in a row? Or like the gabbai has to make the rounds three times and everyone in shul has to refuse on the first try? Like it's very, it's a little bit...
Shul, you know, there's it's a big shul, about eight guys.
Right.
And so, like, they ask people multiple times and people give in. Like, eventually they have to do most daven, most stuff. Like, I don't want to, but like...
Right, so...
third time, like, I'm going to give in. Like, not because it's luck, I'm just saying,
right.
Like,
no, so it's actually interesting what you're raising, that is raised in the... I think he's a Das Yachid on this, but the Eshel Avraham. So there's... Mibuchach, that would be the one, right? We don't want to confuse him with the Prima Gadim's Eshel Avraham. So that's why they call him the Eshel Avraham Mibuchach, because there were two Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch called Eshel Avraham. The Prima Gadim, you guys... Prima Gadim is a super commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. It's not a regular commentary, right? What's the difference between a super commentary and a regular?
It's on the page.
No.
It's on a commentary.
Right, it's on a commentary. A commentary on a commentary. I always wondered when I was a kid, like when they'd call like something a super commentary. I'm like, how good do you have to be to like be a super commentary? So the answer is not necessarily any better, but it's just the style. So the Prima Gadim, basically the main commentaries in Shulchan Aruch or Rechaim are the Magen Avraham and the Taz. So the every Sif Katan of Magen Avraham, there's an Eshel Avraham in the Prima Gadim, and every Sif Katan of Taz, there's a Mishpitzo Zahav in the Prima Gadim, and so too in Yeridea, there's on the Shach and the Taz, there's a Prima Gadim on every Sif Katan in that area as well. So that's the Prima Gadim's Eshel Avraham. The Eshel Avraham Mibuchach is its own standalone commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And he writes that he thinks that this whole idea is, how could it be that you're supposed to lie? Like someone asks you if you want to daven for the Amid and you really can't wait to daven for the Amid, but you know, you don't want to undersalt your tabshil, so you refuse. So he's like, no, this is not talking about someone who doesn't want. He basically says, someone who wants to daven for the omelet, go right up there and daven for the omelet. But for those who don't want to daven for the omelet, it's telling them they shouldn't refuse more than three times. They should refuse the first time, and then the second time they should already think about giving in, and the third time. So that's actually your situation that you were describing, that if you have if you're asked three times and you really don't want to daven for the omelet anyway, you should really give in anyway.
Doesn't
trouble with
the Gemara so well.
Right, the Gemara seems like it's talking about everybody. Gemara seems to say that and that's
with
right. You have to do it. You have to refuse. That's why I don't think most understand the way the Eshel Avraham understands. I think that standard interpretation is that it's an issur that the Meiri writes on this Gemara that it's a shaila of yura. You think you have the right to represent the tzibur, so therefore you shouldn't be running up there so fast, right? There's I've heard this. Rav Shechter likes to talk about this when it comes to all matters of public. Public speeches and things like that. He always says, he tells the Hasidic story. You guys ever heard this Hasidic joke about the, so he says that the, basically he says, you're not supposed to want to stand up there in front of everybody and be the center of attention all the time, right? So he gives the Hasidic story. It's really a joke. It's not actually a story, but the Hasid is driving his donkey, he's pulling his wagon, and he gets stuck in a huge mud puddle in the middle of town. So he says, he's a good chassid, he doesn't know what to do, he can't get it out. Everybody's trying to help him, they can't get it out. So okay, I'll go to the Rebbe. So they go to the Rebbe and they ask the Rebbe, Rebbe, my donkey is stuck in the mud with my cart, what am I supposed to do? So he says, just take a big shtender and put it in front of the donkey and you'll see. He's like, well, Rebbe, I don't see how that's going to work. He's like, you're a good chassid, you listen to the Rebbe, that's it. So he goes, he puts the shtender out, and lo and behold, the donkey invigorates itself and pulls the cart right out of the mud. So he comes back to the Rebbe. He's like, Rebbe, it worked. How did you know? So he goes, because the donkey always runs to the shtender. So that's the idea of people who are always running to be the one who davens for the Amid in the center of attention. It's not considered to be a commendable thing. To want to always be the one, I'm worthy of representing the tzibur, etc. Okay, so that's the basic gist of the Gemara, and the tour I gave you in source number two, he gives you a few exceptions. So there are let's say actually Rabbi Leibowitz has one of the articles in his sefer. He has about five or six exceptions to the rule. Most of them are not nogea to us,
This would be like a situation where like you're supposed to lie. if you actually...
It seems that. Yeah. Wait, yeah. So you even want to daven for the Amid, but you should refuse. You don't have to refuse and say, I hate davening for the Amid. You could just say that, no, thank you, I'm not interested. You know, it doesn't have to be an outright lie. It could be along the lines of, you know, a, you know, no thank you, or maybe some other time, or whatever it is. The exception number one is the subject of some nice ideas in learning. It's not so relevant, except, you know, nowadays most shuls don't have a chazan. Although there, you know, here and there you find some shuls that have a chazan kavua, who's like, it's his job to daven for the amid. So if you look in the tour, he writes that hayored lifnei ativa ve'eno shliach tzibur kavua tzarach l'sarev ma'at kodim sheyered velo yoser midat. Right, he says that if you're not the shliach tzibur kavua, but if you are the shliach tzibur kavua, then you don't have to do anything. You can go right up there. He says, so just to continue, al pam rishon misari v'kishayomer lo pam shnia mechen atzmo kemoshe rotzel lamer pam shlish yamer v'mtot shliach tzibur tzrichem lahamir achre tachtav also shamidir tachtav lo yisar. So the second rule is, first rule is if you're the shliach tzibur kavua, you don't have to refuse, and the second rule is, If the guy up there makes a mistake, then you should not refuse at that moment. You should run right up there. You shouldn't wait for, you know, what happened. What are we talking about? In the old days, they davened for the Amid by heart. So I don't know if you've ever been to Baal Koreh when you, like, sometimes the Baal Koreh he'll just make a mistake and he can't regain his composure. You ever seen such a thing? So, like, again, sometimes you know the laning.
They don't have composure to begin.
Okay, so I'm talking about a guy, he like, not a guy who knows it perfectly. Sometimes the Baal Koreh will make mistakes, but because he knows it well, he gets right back into it. And sometimes the Baal Koreh, he knows it, but not perfectly. So if he makes too many mistakes, he just, like, sort of loses it and he forgets what he's supposed to do. Right? Happens a lot with a Baal Tokeya, let's say. A Baal Tokeya, once you get, like, you know, you lose the sweet spot on your lips or whatever it is, and you can't blow the shofar anymore. So these are all examples of, you have a shliach tzibur who makes a mistake. So in those days, the Baal Tefila was saying it by heart, because they didn't really have Siddurim. And he would make a mistake, so he knows the davening, but sometimes when you make a mistake and you get corrected and then you sort of lose it. So somebody's got to go up there and replace him. So there you're not allowed to refuse. You have to run right up there and replace him you're not supposed to pick up from the middle of the bracha, you're supposed to pick up from the beginning of the bracha where he left off. Again, nowadays we have Siddurim, it's not really much of an issue, so you can just, worst case scenario, even if the guy's completely losing it, you can just, you know, point to the spot in the Siddur and he'll be able to pick it up. Those are two more examples. Number one, if you're the shliach tzibur kavua, then you don't have to refuse. And number two, if you are the...
Is it like a bit of a situation if you have to swap in a new shliach tzibur, like in the middle of the...
It's definitely bidyevid, but if you have to, you have to. He's allowed to pick it up as long as the proviso is that the shliach tzibur who's coming in has heard every word of the previous... the Chazar Sashatz, and he's able to pick it up from the beginning of the bracha where the fellow made the mistake. So otherwise, if you get a guy who just walked into the shul and he can't just start Shmon Esrei from the middle. So regarding this exception of the Shliach Tzibur Kavua, so there's an interesting kasha that they ask from a Gemara in Erechin. So the Gemara in Erechin, which you know, you guys know the real pronunciation of Erechin. It's not Erechin, it's Arachin, right? So we're heretofore known as Erechin. It's good to know the right way to say it also. So the Gemara here is discussing a different topic, whether or not you need to sing Shira by certain types of korbanos. So he says, Boy Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin has the following question. Olas nedavas nidvas tzibur. Teuna shira o ina teuna shira. So if you bring a korban ola, which is not the regular Ola Satzibur. What would be an example of a regular Ola Satzibur? Let's see who heard the laning this morning. Right. Well, wouldn't be an example. Actually, who heard the laning on Thursday? Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Korban Tamid is the ultimate example of the Ola Satzibur, right? So any Korban Ola that's brought on behalf of the Tzibur is obviously, that's an Ola Chova Satzibur. That has to be, right? So this morning we didn't talk about what's a Chova and what's a Nedava. We just talked about the Korban itself. But nevertheless, So do you have to sing Shira? Meaning, we know that when we bring the Olas Chovas at Tzibur, you sing Shira. So what about if it's the Tzibur decides to donate an Adava? Do you have to sing Shira for that as well? Olo Sechem Am Rachmana, Achas Olas Chova, Achas Olas Nadava, O Dilma Olo Sechem de Kuli Yisrael Kam Rachmana. So when it says, right, that you're supposed to sing Shira and use the word Olo Sechem, so is that Dafka applying to any plural korbanola? So whether it's an adava or a chova, it doesn't matter. Or maybe it's only a chova, because a chova is the ola of all of Klal Yisrael, as opposed to an olas nidvas atzibur is the tzibur who donated it, but it's not all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael doesn't get together to donate a single carbon. They bring the karbanos that are the chiyuvim. So tashma, so we have the following raya. Vayomer chizkia lahalo sa'ola. So Chizkiah said to bring up the ola laham is beyach. Uba'es hechel ha'ola hechel shir Hashem v'hakatzotzros ayde kli shir, right? David Melech Yisrael. So basically, so we say what happened over there. So when they were bringing up the ola, they started singing the shira to Hashem and bringing the blowing the trumpets and the other instruments of David Amelech. So it says, "Hi shira maya v'detayu," right? So what were they bringing the what were they singing the shira for? Why were they singing Shira when Chizkiyahu was bringing up this korban ola? So ilema de olas chova, if it was a regular olas chova, lamali imluche. Why did he have to ask permission? Meaning, we're saying over here that Chizkiyahu, when vayomer Chizkiyahu lahalos ola, Chizkiyahu was saying to bring it up. Meaning, he was the one who asked Rishus, "Can I do this? Can we bring this korban now?" Elalav de olas nedava. It must have been that it was a nedava, and that's why he asked. Had to ask Rishus, "Can we bring the carbon?" So that's why they said, "You see from here that you sing Shira even when there's an Olas nedava." Am Rav Yosef, lo, no, Olas Rosh Chodesh have it. It was the regular carbon Ola for Rosh Chodesh, right? V'kamibayluhu mi huk for Rosh Chodesh bizmano deli karva lo. What was Chizkiyahu asking for? He wanted to know, Is today Rosh Chodesh? Or is it whatever? We just had a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, right? So is it going to be a regular Rosh Chodesh? Is it going to be a delayed Rosh Chodesh? So he wanted to know, is today Rosh Chodesh that we can actually bring this carbon or not? So Amar Le Abayis said, "Mi Matzis Amrit Hachi? Can you say such a thing?" V'aksiv b'yom shisha asar l'chodesh harishon. He said, "What are you talking about? Look at the pasuk. It says it was the 16th day of the month." V'yomer Chizkiyahu lahalo sa'ola. Lam is bech. So he says. Obviously, it was not Rosh Chodesh. Ella Amar Rami Bray the Rav Yeva, Keves Abba Im HaOmer Kamei Boyelahu. They were asking about the keves that they bring together with the Korban Omer. Mi Kav Rosh Chodesh Bizman Adoli Karev Olo. They were asking, was Rosh Chodesh back then at the right time, so that we know if bringing the Korban Omer at the right time. That was what they were asking. They were asking, are we on the right day or not? So obviously he knew that it wasn't a question of today being Rosh Chodesh, but it was something that was dependent on Rosh Chodesh. It says, Maskiv l'Rav Avoya, v'lech zei Pesach hechi avid. What? We're asking now on the 16th day whether or not it was a 1-day or a 2-day Rosh Chodesh? What did you do yesterday, actually 2 days ago? What did you do 2 days ago on Erev Pesach? Did you bring the Korban Pesach or not? So he's like, so how could it be that we're asking on the day of the Korban Omer that all of a sudden, what day was Rosh Chodesh 2 weeks ago? So that's impossible. So matzah hechiyachel, and or they should just find out what night did we eat matzah. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, midi dahave ashlicha detzibura demamlich. So he says, no. He wasn't asking. The reason he was asking to bring the korban was not because he wanted to know when Rosh Chodesh was. He was just asking in general, the same way a shliach tzibur, before he gets up there to daven, would ask Rishus from the tzibur, "Can I go up there and daven?" So that's what Chizkiyah was doing. He was bringing a korban on behalf of a tzibur of people, and therefore he wanted to know, "Can I bring the, can we offer the korban now?" Not because he wasn't sure what day it was or any of that. So that was what we were saying. Hash does his lach, and now that we've given this answer, afilu tema olas chova. You could even say that it was a chova, meaning even if it was a regular carbon musaf, and Chizkiyahu was just sponsoring them bringing this particular carbon. Midi dehave shlichah de tzibura de mimlach. So you could say that he asked permission the same way a Shliach Tzibur will ask permission. So that is this Gemara over here, basically concluding that this is not a raya one way or the other, what type of a korban it was. Because we're saying that, like, well, it had to have been a nedava. Why did it have to be a nedava? Because otherwise, why is he asking permission? Can we bring it now? Right? Obviously, if it was a chova, what else are you going to do? Not fulfill your mitzvah? So, of course, you bring the korban. So then we said, in the end, nah, it's not a raya. I'm sorry, I don't know if that was clear. Basically, we had a question. Do you sing Shira when you bring in Olas Nedava, right, for the Tzibur? So we tried to bring a raya from the fact that Chizkio brought an Ola and they sang Shira, and the raya that was a Nedava was that he asked permission, can we bring it now? So the Gemara concludes, nah, it's not a raya. Why not? Because he was asking permission the same way when anybody does anything on behalf of the Tzibur. So they would ask permission first, like a Shliach Tzibur. With me so far? So then the Gemara says, oh, now that you said that that's what it meant when he asked, so it could have been that that was the regular Musaf of the day, it was regular Tumid of the day. They still ask permission, can we bring the carbon now, because that's the appropriate thing for any Shliach Tzibur to do. And therefore, they always would ask permission, can we bring the carbon now? So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. So based on this Gemara, the Bi'ur HaGra, on the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Tur, that if you're the Shliach Tzibur Kavua, you're the one who always davens for the Amid, you don't have to refuse or ask permission or anything like that. So the Bi'ur HaGra says, I don't know what you're talking about. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, you don't have to ask permission. It's always hard to read these Bi'ur HaGras. If you're ever interested, it's available on HebrewBooks.org. The first time I ever saw it was Rabbi Willig has some of these Sfarim on that random shelf of his. You know what I'm talking about? So there's a set of Sfarim, I think by the chief rabbi of Haifa.
In the room.
Yeah. Called Birkas Elio, where I think it was the chief rabbi of Haifa. Maybe it was somewhere else. But one of the chief rabbis in Israel. He put together a Bi'ur HaGra, just a perush on the Bi'ur HaGra that he like explains just the Maariv Makomos. He quotes the Maariv Makomos and he gives a little bit of Haaretz here and there, just elaborating a little bit on the Bi'ur HaGra since it's so bekitzer. Like so this Bi'ur HaGra, if you're learning Shulchan Aruch, this is all you get. So he says, right, Ayin L'Kaman, Simon Kuflet Lametesiv Gimel, Uhu Tamua. Right? He's like, I don't get what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. Don't you know the Gemara in Erechin Yid Aleph Amid Beis? Right? So, no. No, I do not.
I guess
but,
it's helpful once you learn the Sugya and then you look in the Shulchan Aruch and you look in the Gemara.
Right, but this one isn't part of the Sugya. This one, the people only quote this Gemara because the Gra quoted it. So basically, what's the Gra asking? He's saying that I don't get it. It said at the end of that Gemara that even if it's an Olas Chova, you have to ask Rishus before you bring it because you're the Shliach Tzibur. So who could be a more Shliach Tzibur Kavua than the Kohen doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? So it's his job. Like he's hired to do this job, to bring the Karban Ola. So how can you say that a person who's not the Shliach Tzibur, who's the Shliach Tzibur Kavua, doesn't have to ask Rishus before he goes up there? So it seems clear from the Gemara that everyone needs to ask Rishus before they do something on behalf of the Tzibur.
Like an Olas Chova, not that.
Right.
Right. Not that he's the Shliach Tzibur Kavua.
No, so Mamela, you want to say for it, say, no, not even Shliach Tzibur Kavua. The point is, what's the reason a Shliach Tzibur Kavua doesn't have to ask? Because it's his job. He was given that responsibility to go up there and represent the Tzibur. So the Kohen, who's bringing the carbon, so if you want to say that he doesn't have to ask Rishus when he's doing an Olas Nedava, because he wasn't necessarily hired to bring an Olas Nedava. The guy showed up with an Olas Nedava, so he's going to do the guy the favor of offering the carbon. So he wants to ask Rishus, can I do this job on behalf of this fellow who's not scheduled on the program?
Well, it's the Tzibur here.
Right, but it is a Tzibur, but it's still a Nedava. But an Olas Chova? He was hired to do that job. Like, why would he want to?
The only Kohanim had responsibility to do
it. Right, but he won whatever lottery they had that day to do that job. He's definitely the guy for the job. So therefore, it's it would seem that this is a parallel example of a guy who's hired to be the shliach tzibur, and is told, get up there and do it. So now he still has to ask rishus. Does he still have to refuse? So the Bir Agra says, yeah, look at the Gemara. It seems very clear that he has to refuse. Okay, so it happens to be there are a number of terutzim to this kasha, none of which are like super compelling, but the Bir Halacha on Shulchan Aruch raises this question, and he quotes the Bir Agra here. He says, the Bir Agra says it contradicts the Gemara. So he wants to say, Me'atur gam kein eino muchach rak de'eino tzarech l'sarev avalo de'ein tzarech lamten klal. He says, maybe you don't have to ask the kasha on the tour, because he doesn't say the guy has to, the tour just says he doesn't have to refuse, but maybe he should, you know, hang back to get ready for the job till it's very clear that he has everybody's rishus. Meaning, maybe when the Gemara in Erechin says it's just like a shliach tzibur, maybe that's not talking about a shliach tzibur for davening. Maybe it's talking about just like the guy in charge of certain things. Lefi ma shapirish Rashi b'chulin chavdal amidbeis the yesh leach tzibur shimamuna l'tkiyah shofar ulenados, right? So you get some more cheerful things than others, right? So you have some, the guy who's the Baal Tokeya, or the guy in charge of putting people in cherem, or usharei dvarim. Ayin sham, look in the Rashi for the list of things that they used to have a shleach tzibur for. It says, Va'af al gav de bevadai metartzim hatzibur sheyia hu shlucham, misratzim, sorry. Even though, obviously, the tzibur wants him to be the shliach, gam kein letfila mikol makom avid de mimlach. No, this is the guy whose job it is to do certain things, and obviously, they wanted to daven for the Amid, but you should still ask. Mashen kein b'shliach tzibur sheh haya ikr sheyia shliach tzibur letfila. What, they hired this guy, they're going to pay the guy, I don't know, sometimes you hire a guy for Yavam Noram, you pay him a lot of money. I don't remember the numbers, but let's say, it's not. I don't think it's outlandish to say that a guy could get $5,000 to daven in some big shul. I said it, it's not outlandish,
it's outlandish, it's so low.
Right, so in my shul, maybe we only give it that little, but the guy shows up to daven for the, I mean, I know people who've flown in from Israel to do it, so it has to be at least covering the flight and, you know, the rental car and whatever else, so you got to be a decent amount of money to do it. So like, we're paying you thousands of dollars to do this, now you're asking us if you can do this? Like, no, clearly you are here to do this. Don't start asking rishus once it's time to get up there. Just get up there. Right, so they don't not interested in hearing the guy ask, do I have your permission to daven for the Amid at this point? If we, you know, so this, that's the Bir Halacha, is very, what we call a Baal Batisha Teretz. In general, Bir Halacha's style is a Baal Batisha style.
The Teretz is
that like, the difference between Baal Batish, one guy owns a home, one guy doesn't, you know, so, but in reality, there's different styles in learning. Different styles in learning. So there's some Lumdisha style where they'll give a learning based on a klal that flows through the whole sugya or whatever like that. So that would be called a Lumdisha approach. Baal Batisha approach is something like this. Like maybe when he said shliach tzibur, he didn't really mean shliach tzibur for this. He meant shliach tzibur for all kinds of things. And davening is like the jack of all trades for the shul. Like he does a lot of things for the shul. He's the Baal Tokeya for the shul. He's the moel. He's this. So pashtus, when they want somebody to daven for the yamah, they want him. So there, that's what they were talking about in the Gemara in Erechin, where they say just like a shliach tzibur has to ask rishus, so too this guy has to ask rishus. Meaning like a shliach tzibur means the guy who's the jack of all trades for the tzibur. He should ask, but let me just finish this thought. So so that was his point. So he said, Mash Enkein, if you hired a guy exclusively to daven for the Amid, that guy doesn't have to ask. So that's what I mean by a Baal Batisha Teretz. It's like a Hachab Mayaskinan sort of in the, you know.
Severely limiting.
Right. It applies to this question and this answer. It's not like some new klal that we can you know, lay into on other klal. So, yeah, what did you want to say?
What was the question?
The question was, if the Torah paskin and the Shulchan Aruch paskin based on the Torah, that if you are the if you're the guy, the shliach tzibur kavua,
you
don't have to ask rishus, or you don't have to refuse when someone tells you to get up there and daven. So what do you want to say?
I was going to say that.
Torah says you don't have to.
Yeah.
So
how come the Gemara in Erechin seems to be that even the shliach tzibur always has to ask permission to get up there? And the example that they said was, even in when you're the Kohen bringing in Olas Chova, right? When you're the Kohen bringing in Olas Chova, you still have to ask. But if you're the Kohen bringing in Olas Chova, you are the Shliach Tzibur Kavua. It's your job to do this. You were quote unquote hired to do this job. So why would you have to compare that to a Shliach Tzibur asking permission? So it seems that a Shliach Tzibur comparable to the Kohen, who was hired to do this job, has to still ask permission to get up there. Yeah.
Saying no to somebody is very different than asking, can I do this?
Right. So that's definitely one seemingly easy chiluk, is that what does it mean that... let's take a look in the Chachma Shlomo. Chachma Shlomo, I'm not sure if this is what you're getting at or not, but it's worth seeing it. And then if not, there are other answers which I didn't give you. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different answer, and there's a Divrei Malkiel has a different answer, but they all dance around the same basic idea. Divrei Malkiel, it's an important sefer from the 1800s. Shals and Chuvas, for some reason I'm thinking Lemberg, but I could be wrong about that. The Chachma Shlomo is there is Chachma Shlomo on the Gemara, which is the Maharshal. This is the Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Shlomo Kluger, and he lived around the same time as the Vilna Gaon. And he quotes the Gra's Kasha, and he says Ulefi ani es daiti acharei hamechila mikvod Torasso harbe dima shnei. Harama tvo Torasso Harama. Sorry about that. Dima shnei inyanim nifradim. He says it's not a good comparison. He says that with the mechila to the gra, I don't think he's comparing two similar things. Dekan have kavanas hamachaver kach. The ish acher she'eno kavua ein lo lios hu hamaschil bedavar ulevakish lispal. A person who's not the kavua guy, he shouldn't just get up there and ask if he can daven for the amid. That's like arrogance. That's why you have to wait for other people to ask you first. They should be the ones to bring it up. Says the shliach tzibur kavua, that's not yura for him to assume he's davening for the amud. He can start walking towards the bima when it's time for him to. It's time for whatever. He's the Baal Shachris. He's the Baal Musaf. So it's when Shachris starts coming around and they say they're about to say Nishmas, he can start walking towards the Amid like he's going to daven. So ulazek kasa the shliach tzibur kavua yored me'atzmo. That's why we say that he can go up there by himself. No one else has to tell him to get up there. Aval mikol. Mikol makom after who amaschil v'yored tchila, mikol makom tzarach she yimloch hu tchila b'tzibur. Once he goes up there, he still has to get the nod. He still has to look to the gabai or look to the tzibur and make sure it's okay for him to daven for the amud. Umizem ma'ariv erichin dehu yeh hamaschil v'yashel osam im yispalo. And he says that's exactly what it says by Chizkiyahu. They were asking. He says, can we do this now? Not that it was. It was a question whether or not they'd be allowed to do it. They have an olas chova. The olas we're definitely about to bring the olas chova, no doubt. That's the chiyuv. So it's still appropriate for a person to, ask, can I start? Right, for the tzibur to sort of give him the nod. Is it appropriate for me to do it now? And that's what he wanted to differentiate between specifically the case of refusing when someone else asks you versus you asking yourself, am I allowed to do it? So it would be considered yora if you get up there and you say, can I daven for the Amid? It would not be considered yora for if you're the Shliach Tzibur Kavua to get up there and ask. So that's the what I think is the best answer based on the Lashon of the Gemara as well as the Shliach, the Shulchan, well, I didn't show you the Shulchan Aruch, but the Lashon of the Tur and the Lashon of the Gemara, which seem to fit nicely with this explanation of Shlomo Kluger. What's a big nafkamina, all the other answers that come up in the Aruch HaShulchan and everybody else, they all basically say that if you're the Shliach Tzibur Kavua, you don't have to ask. It's just, they draw some other kind of a chiluk, right? I forgot who says this answer. One of them said that, like, maybe the Tzibur is not ready to start. In other words, when it says to ask, it's you're asking the Tzibur if they're ready to start, not can you be the Shliach Tzibur. In the Gemara.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the Gemara. But like, that would follow that if you're at a minyan and this is the 8 o'clock minyan, there's no need to ask, okay, can I start? It's 8 o'clock. Like, no, they want you to start at 8 o'clock. They're not waiting for you to, you know, most shuls at least, I don't know.
Someone told me once that in the Shurim, they had a 10 o'clock minyan that they changed to a 10:01 minyan because people got mad.
People got mad that it was starting on time?
Yeah.
So 10:01 it is? Okay. I'm sure that made everybody feel very very good for them, good about themselves. Okay, whatever. It's like, it's a very big shul. Okay.
10:01 chakras or mar?
I think Krasansky would not be a thing.
Okay, so let's just do a couple more ideas here. Another example that would be one example where you don't refuse, which is if you are the Shliach Tzibur Kavua. The second example where you don't refuse, well, we gave another one already, is that if the guy made a mistake, but that's not nogea in our times. A second example of where you don't refuse is the concept of misarvin lekatan vein misarvin legadol. You don't refuse when a great person asks you to do something. The Ra'ah, in his commentary on Brachos, he writes this idea. I'm just skipping, it's source number 7, but just to skip to the second line over there. Umiyu hani mili kulu hakol lefi hamafayes v'hamispayes. Right, he says it all depends on the guy who is appeasing and the one who's being appeased. Shema mafayes adam gadol ein misarvin bo klal. So this is if the guy who is asking you is an adam gadol, do not refuse him at all. V'dvarim elu lefi mashahu. Right, he says you have to use your brain when it comes to these particular situations and feel it out. Umiyu masnisa berubed alma. When the Mishnah, where the Braisa says you're supposed to refuse, that's most people. But most people, the guy asking is probably an average person, so you don't have to be afraid that you're refusing to do what a great person tells you to do.
When you're refusing somebody, you're telling them you're not great.
Well, yeah, most people aren't great, right? You know the rule from Syndrome. Right, if everyone's super, no one is. So the not everyone's super.
He is incredible one.
So that's the idea. Okay, another. Interestingly enough, even this rule, which seems very obvious, is not 100% accepted. Although the Shulchan Aruch writes it, but the Magen Avraham in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch says that Eino Misarev Lo Klal, the Ein Misarev in the Gadol. Because at Tosfos so perek zayin de psachim, so he quotes from the Tosfos that the bedavar gasus usrara. It depends if it's something which is an arrogant thing. Afilu haomer lo hu gadol hu adam gadol yisariv. Says then you can even refuse an adam gadol. Says if it's so I don't really know. It's very hard to quantify these things. In the modern setting, if it's let's say it's a big deal in this tzibur, let's say you have a tzibur of very very big talmidei chachamim and everybody is super medakdek on laning the Megillah, right? We're almost up to Purim, so everybody is lanes the Megillah in a certain way, and like everybody in the shul is a big Talmud Chacham, and they all know all the klalei adikduk, and they know how to be do everything perfectly, and it's like a big honor. Who's going to lane the Megillah? So if the Rav of the shul obviously has to be a major Talmud Chacham to be the Rav of such a place, so he comes to you and he says, "I want you to lane the Megillah." So that is like a big statement. Like, I am the medakdek of the medakdekim. Like I am the guy who knows all of the klalim really well, and I lane beautifully. So that would be probably something which is considered something that's gasus or sorora, you know, to be called out in such a way. So there you have the right to refuse, even if it's the person asking you is an adam gadol. So it's just you could consider it to be too much for you to have to go up there in front of all these people and be put on display. So that could be an example of such a thing. I don't know. So, just to end off, so the obvious question is, why don't we do this? Or maybe we should, right? So, I can tell you, I had a deal going. I'm not much of a Baal Tevila, but in all the minyanim that I ever daven in, whether it's I daven now in Ashkama, so Ashkama, I know there is a very limited number of people who are willing to daven for the Amid by evidence of the fact that the same people daven every week. And even when I wasn't davening at Ashkama, I knew the Gabbai. The Gabbai and I are friendly, and
what
knew.
What time is Ashkama?
7:30.
It's 7:20 is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Used to be 7:30 start, but then we're in our temporary location, so we have to be finished by the 9 o'clock minyan. Move two doors down till the construction is finished.
On the house there.
Well, the house is gone now. There's a
big
building that went up, but it's not finished.
They got thunder?
Who knows? I don't get involved in these things.
It's
not
his job.
No, nothing is my job. I don't get involved in these things, b'chol. But so even when I daven in the regular minyan, the gabbai, the regular minyan knows I don't like to daven for the amid, and it's understood. I told him, I said, look, if you ask me, I know it means you really need me. Because no one else is saying yes, so I'll go right away. I'm not going to give you a hard time. Because it was understood that he won't ask me unless it's necessary. So that in that case, you can say, like, well, maybe you should still refuse anyway. You know, do you have to play the game, or is it enough that you know the guy Mamish needs you? So, and he's really annoyed because he just asked 15 people and they all turned him down. It's just he's also allowed to daven, you know. A lot of this stuff happens during Psukei Dezimra. So are you allowed to, the gabbai is also entitled. What? So I'm saying, so the gabbai is also entitled to daven Psukei Dezimra. He doesn't have to spend the whole Psukei Dezimra trying to find somebody to daven for the Amid for Shacharis. So here is an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach. He makes two very valid points here. So he says, number one, Nirish Ikar Akapeda Bismanam, She Rubama Loayubakim, Vahotsio Samashlech Tzibur. So it's like, it just meant something different in those days to be the Shlech Tzibur. It says, he was davening for you, because you didn't have a sitter, and you didn't necessarily know davening by heart, and therefore, the Shlech Tzibur had a much bigger job, it was a much more important job. Virabim Sheesbalu To, a lot of people make mistakes in davening. Right, so you're basically establishing yourself as an expert in davening by saying that you want to be the Shlech Tzibur. So it's not your job to be established yourself. Other people can say, we hold you're an expert. But for you to get up there and say, I hold I'm an expert, it's not appropriate. So that's why the Gemara says you should refuse. Shulchan Aruch, etc. Okay. V'ikara l'kayim az tefilas atzibur k'mo shebi'arim l'kam acher avo bizmanenu ein motziyim atzibur. The guy's not being motzi anybody. V'rubim kekulam ru'uyim l'shlech tzibur mosachol. At least during the week, who can't daven for the Amid? Says everybody can daven for the Amid. V'im b'shabbos nimnoyim, and if even on Shabbos, if a guy refuses, ha'nim ne'shein lo kol arev v'chadome, he doesn't think he has a good voice. Avo machzikim es kulam v'mayla debaki v'yodea Velo alulim litos, right? We don't think the guy's going to mess up his tefillah and he doesn't know how to read the words. Velochem bismaneno in chiyuv l'sarev dafka ula'akev atzibur. He says, don't refuse and annoy the tzibur with your refusals because they're not really asking you to do anything. In those days, they were really asking you to do something. So that's why I tried to give the example maybe of the guy who's going to lame the Megillah the best or whatever. Or Balkore, you know, they're looking for Balkore. So not everybody's a Balkore. I guess you could compare a Shlech Tzibur in those days to a Balkore in our days. You know, where the guy has to know the laning well in order to be the Balkore. So there, if you get up there, you say, I'm the Balkore. You're announcing, I know the laning. So when nowadays, when you say, I'll be the Shlich Tzibur, like, wait, I know how to read Hebrew? Okay, listen, it's not nothing, but it's...
You said it doesn't apply.
But what about, like some people, they do, like, the Hazonis?
What?
Like, some people, like, they get the opportunity now to do Hazonis.
Right, so I'll try to go through the... I'll try next, you know, some other time soon, we'll try to discuss Hazanim who like listening to their own voice. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So yeah, we'll see. But okay, so that was reason number one. Ubi Yoser on the Omer. What?
Is that a thing?
I think it's a very good reason.
What we mean is a good reason to not listen to your own voice.
No. I said we'll talk about that maybe next time or in two times. That's not such a long sugya. but Chazanim, who the Shulchan Aruch basically talks about a Chazan who likes hearing himself sing. So is that a good thing or not? So we'll see. So,
it depends what kind of tzibur, you
know? No, it depends on a lot of things. Not a lot of things. It depends on like two or three things. So, okay. So, uvi yoser ani omer. So, further than this, you could say, sha'afilu lo nechlak, even if you don't differentiate the way we just said, v'neima detamid sarach siruv beis pa'amim. Okay, aposkim shelo chilku b'kach. Maybe you always need to refuse. But if you know people don't want to be the shlich tzibur, so he says now, if people are not interested in going up there, then you're not allowed to refuse. Right? So that's why I brought you guys before that line that if the guy made a mistake, you're not allowed to refuse because it's actually nogeya, even nowadays, where people don't make mistakes, and even if they make a mistake, they have a sitter, but you can still use it as a dimyon to our cases.
When you need somebody.
Like, why are you not supposed to mistake? Oh, I'm sorry, why are you not supposed to refuse when the guy makes a mistake over there? Because we need you now.
Desperate.
Right. So it says, V'gam kam, kisheroash atzibur yisake. The tzibur is waiting. V'yesh tircha the tzibura, lo yeh sarvan v'osa shah. V'yachol gam me'atzma lalo shemezaka rabim. Right, so if you see no one else is going up there, if you need to get up there, just go. You don't even have to ask. So he says, "Vizeg gufa zechus rabamo." This is unto itself a good zechus. This is a good thing that you're going up there to daven for the amen. Okay, so that's the first little unit on being a shliach tzibur is you just making it up to the front, right? Do you have to refuse? Do you not have to refuse? Again, as we tried to point out, I think Rav Sternbach's two points are very well taken. That it's now not necessary to refuse bismaneinu, but at least the theme of it should remain the same, that you shouldn't be running to be machzik tova la'atzmacha and to take on tzibur based responsibilities. You should realize that it is a responsibility and it is putting yourself up on a pedestal a little bit, and that's not something we run to do. But nevertheless, if your goal is to actually be helpful, so you should be helpful. You should try to do, it's always a klal gadol to ask, somebody asks you, would you like to daven for the amid? So you don't have to say it in Zeh HaLashon. You could say, are you doing me a favor or am I doing you a favor? If you're doing me a favor, no thanks. If I'm doing you a favor, I'm happy to help. That's, I think, the chilek that he draws at the end, that if you're doing it for the sake of the tzibur, so then you can, it's being helpful, you should just go do it already. As opposed to if the guy's trying to be mechabed you, so you can live without the kavod. Right. So that's the basic issue. Okay. Shkayach.